Colin Cullis. Help me understand, please, the role of business into the future. Business would like itself placed at the center of economies and societies and policy, where governments want to put themselves at the center, and so far the battle is being won by governments. Is it time for governments to make way for business, I wonder?
I wish I could answer that one convincingly, Bruce, but I have more questions than answers for tonight, and I raise it because I don't believe we or many other businesses find themselves in sort of known waters for how to deal with this. And I suppose I should start by asking, are you planning a trip through or to Hong Kong anytime soon?
I can't say that I am, no.
Well, if, according to the recently enacted law that governs Hong Kong, certainly as far as security goes, our conversation this evening could see us run foul of that law, and should either of us have a visit the city, we may be stopped and potentially prosecuted under it if our conversation this evening constitutes something that the Chinese authorities would believe is subversion. And that's kind of the reason why I wanted to pick it up. It's very rare that a law applies not just from the time when it was enacted, but to someone who is not from that country, or if the supposed crime isn't committed in that country. That's kind of different from extradition treaties that would exist between countries for when their citizens contravene or commit a crime in another country, which is against their rules. But this particular law seems to go much, much further, even though it says it's targeting very specific or very few individuals who might actively try and do this, that it raises a lot of questions about what should technology companies as businesses, and I suppose us as individuals who have a relationship, either for travel or buying products or just generally, being aware of the situation in the world, should do as a consequence. And as a starting point, perhaps just to say, how did we get here? Because some people might be surprised that Hong Kong is, of course, part of China. So why is there even a question about China ruling Hong Kong? And it kind of goes back, and the anniversary was on the 1st of July in 1997, when Hong Kong, former to that, a colony of Britain, was handed back to China. Macau, another region in the area, was handed back as well. That was a colony under the protection, supposedly, of Portugal. And the deal was that while the systems in China and then Hong Kong were very, very different, assuming that all of those residents would happily just switch from what would be a democracy, loosely called, or certainly a Western-style form of government, to the Communist Party's style of government, would be a very drastic change, that an agreement was made, often called one country, two systems, where the region would be semi-autonomous and would persist kind of semi-autonomously for the next 50 years. Effectively, the only thing that mainland China would take full control over was protection for diplomatic transactions or defense. But over the last couple of years, it's 20 odd years now, has lapsed, there have been more and more things where China has sought to insert itself into the running of the country. And certainly as China has grown and become very dominant globally, so too has it sought to add its influence, certainly to regions where it does have control like this, and to some other ones that perhaps is still contested. And just in the last month, we saw clashes along the borders with India. There are issues coming up with claims around islands and the sea around certain islands, and of course, longstanding claims with regards to Taiwan, etc. All of those have merit. I'm not saying that what China's looking to engage in is not justified. Just that at the time and sometimes the means by which they're doing it, some people would be justified in saying this doesn't sound like the most or the best faith with which to do the negotiations. Mm-hmm. And so the original start to this was a law that really was looking to allow for the extradition of people outside of Hong Kong that could be extradited if they did a crime outside. People of Hong Kong figured, hang on, this is a law whose intention could be re-described as saying if you did something wrong, you could effectively be extradited from Hong Kong to China to face trial there. And so protests began, significant protests. Hong Kong has about 7.5 million residents, and some of these protests, by many of the reports, suggested numbers approaching a million, if not exceeding that, of people taking to the street to protest. After many months, they did manage to get that original law to not be enacted. But then, things did start taking a bit of a different turn. Shall I move on to that bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all ears here, Colin. It feels like a million years ago, but the stuff is so current, and it just feels like it's been going on forever, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what? As much as when you read the headlines, you sort of get your head around it, when you start looking at the complexities and the scope for how much complexity there is, then it really does become challenging. So this particular law was enacted effectively on the 30th of June, secretly, very speedily, and almost silently. It effectively took effect the next day. Many people didn't even know what all the law entailed. It is still a very broad, quite vague by many people's definitions for what all it could include, and was discussed very recently by the United Nations Human Rights Council. And you might think, well, people would have said, you know, revise this, pause this. This is not the way to approach it. But China is not a country without significant influence. And despite being criticized by 27 countries, saw 52 countries voice their support. I don't think it's unfair for me to say that there is a fairly high degree of correlation between the countries that were supporting China in this matter and those that have benefited quite significantly through financing and investment in their countries over the recent while, or that they are nations who kind of agree with quite an authoritarian way of ruling their countries. So the question now then remains is what is a suitable sort of way to register dissatisfaction, or at least to engage to say, is this the best possible way to go? And I'm happy to be picking up on it because it appears the tech companies are the ones most likely to be at the forefront of this. Traditionally, when businesses did things, they would open up a specific office to create a specific product or to extract or mine or do something else. You could open and close businesses you knew when you were operating in a region and when you weren't. But as we move to much more technology-based things, services are effectively capable of being delivered everywhere and anywhere at the same time. And while you can have a customer in two different countries who might be poles apart in terms of the way they run and the ideologies, mm-hmm. that company still has to manage what it's going to do in the respective countries for how it deals with it. So Google, Facebook, and Twitter, since this law was enacted, have all said they will stop complying with any requests from Hong Kong authorities to hand over user data for people occupying or working in those countries. For them, to some degree, given that they don't operate in mainland China to the same degree, maybe doesn't come with that many consequences. But they certainly would all like to be able to do so. The one that is really in a bit more of a conundrum is ByteDance, a Chinese-owned company that also happens to be the owner of the these days very popular app called TikTok. TikTok effectively operates outside of China, almost exclusively outside of China, because in China, there is another app that does the same thing, but it's called Douyin. And both of them operate in Hong Kong. And in order to not run foul of both Chinese authorities nor the U.S. authorities, as it been principally aimed at U.S. sort of consumers, TikTok said it would withdraw the app from Hong Kong and prevent users there from being able to access it. In part, I imagine, they didn't want to be put in a position where Hong Kong authorities, Chinese authorities, would compel them to say, there are some people on your platform who are saying things that we do not agree with, and so they have to be, you have to stop them or prevent them. Now, I've seen quite a few people on TikTok who maybe aren't even necessarily that overtly political. Ultimately, it is a very young, the demographic of the platform is very young, so some people might feel they're just saying something they don't necessarily mean to be all that political with it. But Chinese authorities don't seem to
don't discriminate. I mean, we're in a very scary phase of human evolution and human development. Never before have we been better connected, so we use that connectivity to make comments and statements, and we are now playing in this interconnected global landscape. And you upset the wrong kind of person, and you happen to pop into their country at some point in the future, and if there's a red flag next to your name, well, please don't enter, or your visa is declined, or whatever the case might be. It's a very rapidly changing world on that basis.
It is, and besides, you know, the arrest that happened, sort of almost tit for tat in some countries. You might also think, well, who then can take the moral high ground? Who can challenge China and do so with a clear conscience? And unfortunately, not many countries that can, because they themselves have had or been engaged in things that you would say, well, that hardly seems like you should be the one being the voice of reason here. Britain, being the former colonizer, probably is not the best one to say, you know, we knew how to rule people, so listen to what we're saying, particularly as they have just Brexited without plans, set up their own populations for all sorts of crazy things, despite having at least undertaken to say, we will give a path for giving people who want to leave Hong Kong a way to become citizens of the UK. America has certainly been very insistent that says it doesn't appreciate the safety of many Chinese companies, Huawei in particular, and TikTok. They Secretary of State is looking to say he effectively wants to ban it, something that, you know, the U.S. government doesn't generally do, the banning things, particularly given their notions with, you know, First Amendment rights and free speech, and even Facebook at the moment where people are saying, we wish you would ban things. Seems to be very odd language for the U.S. to be making those sorts of statements. And so there isn't a very clear option over there. And I find South Africa sort of stuck in the middle of all of these things because we did not make a statement either way in the United Nations meeting. But we are a member of the BRICS countries. And when we look at our partners at the moment, there is China, very powerful and possibly willing to do things that we wouldn't consider exactly the most democratic. Russia, Vladimir Putin recently managed to secure in a referendum the opportunity to effectively extend his rule for another 12 years at the very least, after having already done 16 years, making, you know, what is already there quite authoritarian rule. We have the president of Brazil, another major partner, supposedly in BRICS, who I don't think is espousing the kind of things that we might want to sign up for. And India and China are certainly going head to head, even though India themselves, they've banned TikTok. They've just said, we don't care. We're just banning it. But that doesn't mean that, you know, the Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, he himself has, despite being the largest democracy on the planet, has made some moves that a lot of people would say that's more of a nationalist agenda than a fully democratic one. And so we're sort of stuck with, is Facebook really the big defender of democracy in our world? Do we say this is the one time we have to Google it and then Google will fix it? It does seem more uncertain than most. And in a year where uncertainty was the last thing we needed, I did hope that some cool heads and some extra conversation would happen to help us avoid this getting any further down the road and making it any worse. And if to quote that old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times seems particularly appropriate at the moment.
Most certainly does. Thank you, Colin Cullis. Business Unusual this evening on The Money Show.